So let's have a look on the second page. There's a couple of just a slight few things that the Sefer HaChinuch and others add to what the Rambam says. So the Sefer HaChinuch, Mitzvah Chaf Hei, Mitzvahs HaEmunah B'Metzias Hashem Yisbarach, Lahamin Sheyesh Olam Eloka Echad Shehimsi Kol Nimsa, to believe that there is one God who created all things that exist, and Mikocho V'Cheftso Haya Kol Mashehu, and from his strength and desire everything was created, V'Shehaya V'Sheyeh La'adei Ad, and he was and he will be forever. And he took us out of Egypt and gave us the Torah. Just by the way, you asked about, since the Igros Moshe talks about tefillah, that non-Jews are obligated to daven ba'es tzara. So you asked that Ein Mazal Yisrael, Tosfos says what that means is that we can change the gzeira through tefillah and tshuva. But if that only applies to a Jew, then why is this non-Jew davening, right? So actually... of Goldwich said that his suggestion was that we can change a gzeira if there's already a decree. Shuvah and tefillah can actually change that, as we say on Rosh Hashanah, right? Shuvah, tefillah, tzedakah, ma'avir and esrei ha'gzeira. He says, but with a non-Jew, if there's a gzeira, they can't change it, but they can change it if there's not yet a gzeira. So Yonah, who says that Nineveh is going to be destroyed, since it's a nevuah l'ra'ah, meaning it's a negative prophecy, you know, bad things going to happen, that's always al-tnai, that's always conditional, so it's not considered a gzeira. Consequently, they could change it through tshuva and tefillah. Rav Tzadok discusses it, and Rav Tzadok actually has a different take. He says that what it means is that even if they do tshuva or tefillah, they don't erase the remnants or the roshem, the impression that the aveira did. But they can avoid the punishment. Whereas with a Jew, it goes a little further, that tshuva and tefillah can actually erase all signs of the aveira, etc. How these fit into the Loshon Ein Mazal or Mazal is not so clear to me. Anyway, those are two of the responses. So now, he says that all this idea that Hashem took us out of Egypt and he created the world and everything happens is his. Shenema betchilos nesensa anoichi Hashem lokecha asher tzisich me'ezraim. Right? Perusha ki'ilu ateidu v'ta'aminu she'esh olam eloka. Know that there is a God. Ki milas anoichi tore al hamatzius. The word anoichi indicates existence. I just want to mention, it's type of interesting, there's a Umberto Casuto, who was an Italian Jew who was a professor of Bible at Hebrew University, and he wrote extensively on the documentary hypothesis. He was against, right? So one of the pillars of evidence, he's got a great book, it's called Eight Lectures on the Documentary Hypothesis, I think that's what it's called. So it's excellent. Anyway, so one of the pillars is the use of different terminology. They say sometimes the Torah uses this term, and the same term will be, and a different term will be used to mean the same thing in a different place, indicating obviously two authors, right? So now some of these claims were, he easily disproves. But one of them is interesting. One of them, they say that sometimes Torah says ani, I. Sometimes says anochi, I. So it's the same, means the same thing. So this is Wellhausen points out, it means the same thing, and therefore it must be different authors, because, you know, right. So Umberto Casuto points out that it's interesting. He notes, he has many, many places where it does this, but he says when the emphasis is on the subject, he says the term used is usually anochi. When the emphasis is on the predicate, the term is ani. So for example, if I'm saying, oh, Rabbi, are you sitting now? You're sitting or standing? So I'd say, ani yoshev. I'm sitting. In other words, the emphasis being on the yoshev. I'm sitting, right? But if you'd say, is that you standing over there or someone else? Because I can't see too well. I would say, anochi. I am here. Emphasis big. So the Sefer HaChinuch is saying, when it says Anochi Hashem Elokecha, right, that's the, it doesn't say Ani, it says Anochi. Now, obviously, if you look in the Medrash Rabbah and other places, they talk about why it says Anochi. It's a notarikon, an acronym, Ana Nafshi Ksiva Yehiva, my very essence I have written and given to you. Others say Anochi is K, that it's like me, but you'll never actually know me per se, but you'll always know just my manifestation in this world. Okay, either way, But the simple pshat in Anoichi, what he's saying here is more, Anoichi tore al hametzius. Okay. Va'asher amar asher tesicha. Lomar shlo yifatel levavchem. We're in the Sefer Achinuch on page 2. Shlo yifatel levavchem lakachas inyan seichem avdus tzarim makas tzarim derech mikra. Don't your heart should not think that you got out of Egypt because it was some type of slave revolt, right? Proletariat. My wife, when she was doing her master's at Hebrew University, so it was in education. So they visited Israeli schools as part of the education degree. So she went to some school and they were teaching. It was right before Pesach. They were teaching about the Exodus, right? And it was interesting. She said there was an entire class on the Exodus without mentioning God once. It was almost like it was Marxist, you know what I mean? It was like, I can't say this is all Israeli, but certainly this school she went to, which probably was North Tel Aviv, I'm guessing, but was very much about it. It was like a revolt of the Zohar. I saw a Haggadah from a kibbutz, Hashemer Tzair kibbutz, which Baruch Hashem, they're at least saying the Haggadah and the Seder, but it says, Avadim hayinu l'paro v'mitzrayim, v'yatzanu misham. So, he's saying, don't think that. That's not, right? In other words, we didn't get out derech mikre yatsa'u. It just happened. It was like amazing, right? We just got out, right? He says, no. Eila du'u, sha'anochi hu sha'otseisi eschem b'cheifetz v'hashkocha. K'moshi yivtiach l'avaretzeinu Avram Yitzhak Yaakov. So he says, an integral part of this mitzvah of Emunah b'Hashem is not just believing that Hashem exists, but believing that Hashem is involved. And that's, as we mentioned, why Rabbi Yehuda Levi said, why it says, Anoich Hashem l'kecha asher tesichem eretz Yisrael, as opposed to saying, I am Hashem who created heaven, earth, time, space, etc., which is significantly more impressive, I would say, than taking a bunch of Jews out of Egypt. But nevertheless, the reason it says that is because creation, right, doesn't necessarily imply ongoing care, hashgacha. And if you look in the way we say it in the Siddur, in the little abbreviated, anonymous abbreviation of it, it's Vehu levado ose, asa ose v'yaseh l'chol hamasim. Bore u'manhig. Right? In other words, we say, yes, he's involved continuously in the world in every way. And of course, as we mentioned, the Nefesh HaChaim says, in the very existence of the world, requires that HaKadosh Baruch Hu continuously wills it into existence. There's no inertia to existence. It was created, yesh ma'ayin, something from nothing. And it requires HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanting it to exist continuously. Otherwise, it will just cease to exist. We're just going to skip a little bit. To go to the Sefer Mitzvahs Kotten, the Smak. He says, Mitzvahs atulis belev, leida sh'oysa sh'bara sh'mayim ares hu levado moishu l'mal emata b'dal ruchois, v'siv anoichi Hashem alokecha v'goymer. To know that he who created heaven and earth is he who rules heaven and earth and continues to be involved, as we saw previously. There it's much more explicit. Anoichi Hashem Elokecha is not written as an imperative. It's a statement of fact. Here, it's an imperative. Yadata hayom, know it. Vashevoisa levavecha, place it upon your heart. Ki Hashem hu Elokim, Hashemayim al, Barastachas, ain't odd. There's nothing else. So that's very clear, right? V'dashu chachamim ba'avir, meaning that there is nothing in any even in a spiritual sense, there's nothing else but Hashem. Leida pirush lafuke min philosophim sha'amru sha'olam noheg me'elav b'mazalois. Right, here we get mazal again. But the world, it runs, the clockwork type thing. Hashem, yes, Hashem created it, he wound up the clock, and now it's going. Right, now it's on, autopilot, solar energy, whatever. Right, ve'ein lo manig v'lo davar, they say that there's no one running it. Ve'afilu kriyas yamsufi yitzhiyusayim v'chol nefosh nasu b'mazal hayu. They happened as a result of, I guess we might translate it as natural causes, right? They would translate mazal as astrological signs, etc. The I think Rav Dessler says it comes from the word yizal, to flow. Yizal mayim midalyo. Water flows from above, right? So it means the natural flow of the laws of the world and physics and so on and so forth. Obviously, we'll talk about it later when we get to the yesod of Schar Va'onesh. There are differences of opinion as to the degree of what's called Hashgacha Pratis, of Hashem's individual divine providence. In other words, an apple falls off a tree. Is that, so to speak, a decree, an act of Hashem? This apple shall fall off this tree. So the Rambam would say, no, that's the laws of physics. that Hashem created, or you know, physics and botany and so on and so forth, unless it hits Newton on the head and he says, oh cool, gravity, right? So then already, once there's an interaction with the human being, then already it's Hashgacha, right? And the Rambam says, and others agree with him, that Hashgacha is variable, meaning the greater the degree to which a person is focused on a Kodesh Baruch Hu is directly proportional to the degree which there is divine providence for that person. But he says people who are completely devoid of any knowledge of Hashem, the Hashgacha on them will be Hashgachas Hamin, species wide, like, you know, a particular cow gets slaughtered, right? Contrary to Gary Larson's philosophy, right? It's not like that cow was chosen, it just happened to be, right? But obviously the other opposite extreme of that is the Hasidish view, which is that everything, Baal Shem Tov, every leaf falls off the tree, etc., it's all Hashgacha Pratis. What exactly the difference that makes is not totally clear, but in terms of our, you know, behavior, etc. But it's worth knowing that there is an argument about this. But again, suffice it to say that we understand that certainly things don't just happen. Now, and here is important. He says, right? We don't stub our toe here unless it's decreed upon us. That's what we say in the morning, right? In Birchas HaShachar, right? Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Hamechim Mitzadei Gaver. So there's, you know, Rav Kook in Oilas Re'ia has awesome Peru. I mean, not that he needs my, but on the morning brachas, he explains each of them has two levels. There is the simple physical praise to Hashem. Wow, my feet work, you know, my awesome bulk, which is incredibly top heavy, right, is balanced on this like few square inches of my feet, right? I can you know, transport myself fast, slow, over any type of surfaces. It's amazing. That's right. An appreciation of that is worth it. But he says also, Mechim Mitzadei Gaver means Hashgacha Pratis, making a bracha to Hashem that he prepares my footsteps. There's an appreciation of Hashgacha Pratis in our life. That's Mechim Mitzadei Gaver, that the footsteps of man are prepared. There is Hashgacha. Right now, Hashgacha doesn't take away free will. Hashem puts us in situations and requires us to choose. Right, my classic example of that is when I was living in Yerushalayim, and I was one of the respondents on AskTheRabbi.org. So I went to South Africa on a one-week trip. So I went with a friend of mine, married to my wife's cousin, before she was Nifter, Gavriel Klatsko. So we went on a trip to, took a day, and we went and did a barbecue at Hartebeespoort Dam. It's like an hour outside Joburg. So they had a barbecue there. So we see these backpackers in the distance. So he waves at them. I say, are you crazy? Backpackers in the middle of South Africa, right? Who knows who they are? So, you know, he waves them over. I'm looking for a weapon. He's calling them over. So anyway, so they come over. It turns out they're basically just on a hike. And we invite them to join us for the barbecue. So one of them says, this is cool, meeting two rabbis in the middle of nowhere. He says, I haven't had kosher food since my bar mitzvah. That's what we call a bagel. Identification of him as Jewish, right? So anyway, so he said he has one connection to Judaism. I said, yeah. He says, I don't go to shul or anything like that. I have one connection. I said, what's the connection? He says, every few weeks I ask questions on asktherabbi.org. I said, really? And I said, what's your email? He told me, I said, I'm the rabbi who's been answering your questions. Right. I mean, literally, I was answering his questions from South Africa. That was his only connection to Yiddishkeit, never, right? So he was like blown away, right? And he started actually coming to shul, right, after that. And my friend gave him a card. He said, come to the shul, Sunny Road Shul. But anyway, what's interesting here is all Hashgachas Hashem brought us within 100 meters of each other. But without the human free will of Gavriel Oliver Sholem inviting them over, nothing would have happened, right? So there's a combination. He brought us to Hartebeespoort, and he brought them to Hartebeespoort Dam. But the wave and the welcome of Gavriel Oliver Sholem, that was the clincher, that sealed the deal. So even though, of course, there are those who, like the Ishbitzer, who was a radical determinist, revisionist, antinomian Rebbe, but he believed that everything was Hashgacha Pratis, even that, even Hakol B'Dei Shemaim, including Yerushalayim, but most 99% of Jewish thinkers do not believe that, but certainly there is hashgachas. That's what he's saying. But we didn't get to it yet. Okay, I have to go and daven. But we'll continue with the. I thought we were going to finish it, but I guess.